Welcome to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the talk.
The reading today is Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zaccur, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hasaneah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshullam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, son of Baana, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa. But their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. The Jeshanah gate was repaired by Joiada, son of Paseah, and Meshullam, son of Besadeah. They laid its beams and put its doors with their bolts and bars in place. Next to them, repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mizpah. Melatiah of Gibeon and Jadon of Meronoth, places under the authority of the governor of Trans-Euphrates. Aziel, son of Harhiah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section. And Hananiah, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Raphiah, son of Hur, ruler of a half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section. Adjoining this, Jediah, son of Harumaph, made repairs opposite his house. And Hattush, son of Hashbaniah, made repairs next to him. Malchijah, son of Harim, and Hashub, son of Pahath Moab, repaired another section and the Tower of the Ovens. Shalom, son of Halahesh, ruler of a half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. The valley gate was repaired by Hanun and the residents of Zanoah. They rebuilt it and put its doors with their bolts and bars in place. They also repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall, as far as the dung gate. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Laura. I think, Laura, you deserve a round of applause. Those of you that read the Bible here up front are probably thanking God that your day wasn't today. Or maybe 10 people refused before you. Anyway, isn't that wonderful? And we could have gone on, but we cut it a little bit short. And I think it's right that we honour those people by reading their names out and not saying those people. Yeah? Well, here we are. It's good to be with you. We're looking at Nehemiah again. We're on our fifth week. It's the final installment. And I hope and pray that God has been speaking to you, that you've been inspired and that you've heard God speak. A recap: over the last 4 weeks, we have thought about building with prayer, building with courage, building with justice, and building with obedience. And today, we're going to be building together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, as we come to your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit would anoint these words and our hearts and ears as we listen. Help us to hear you and respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm Andy. Many of you will know me, and many of you will know that I'm the building's manager. So I try to look after the buildings, make sure they're in working order, they're safe, but I don't build. I'm not a builder. Okay. Now, I believe that Jesus, however, is our building manager. He manages the building program. Now, I know that because he said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Yeah. But when I think about building together, I quickly think about the Tower of Babel. What an amazing building project that went wrong. That's just an artist's impression, by the way. We're not sure what it looked like, but we know that it was tall. It was probably a fine building, but the motivation was wrong. They said, let us make a name for ourselves, and God is always going to stand against us if pride is our motivation, when we put ourselves first. When we look at Nehemiah, we can see that that's not his problem. He's saying, let's make a name for God. Let's restore the name of our God. You remember that in chapter 1, Nehemiah gets a report from his brother. And the report is that the walls are down and the gates are burnt. Now, I want to be clear, that wasn't new news. That happened many years before. I think that what broke his heart was the little word still. He heard that they were still broken down, that they still hadn't been repaired. 142 years later, bearing in mind that 100 years before, 50,000 exiles had returned to that part of the world. But their priorities had been different. They hadn't prioritized the city of God. They'd looked after their own interests. I wonder if we can be like that today sometimes. Are we sometimes complacent with the way that people see the church? Or do we believe that God can restore, he can rebuild and expand his kingdom today through people like us? Give me a nod if you believe that. We sang it, didn't we? We just sang it. Yeah, we believe that he can do that. Now, when I get involved with maintenance projects, often with a team, we're always conscious of safety. We wear our PPE. Now, I wonder, do you think Nehemiah wore PPE? Well, I think he did. I think he was equipped with prayer, passion, and example. That was Nehemiah's PPE. Yeah, I can see some of you smiling. Now, I know that's a little bit funny, but honestly, I think it's a fantastic thing to bring to the table, to bring to the group, whether it's a church group, whether it's at work, whether it's in your community. Bring to that group prayer. From prayer, get passion from God and live by example. Be an example to the others in your group. Now, I want to share with you, yes, here it is. I want to share this with you. I'd love to be able to read it in an American accent, but I'd make a mess of it. So a group is a bunch of people in an elevator. A team is a bunch of people in an elevator, and the elevator is broken. Now, can we all relate to this? Now, by elevator, we're talking about a lift, by the way, if you need a translation. Have you ever been among a group of strangers and nobody's talking to anybody in a very British way, but suddenly there's a problem or something to complain about? No, there's a problem. And there's something that needs fixing. And then we interact, don't we? We interact and we act. That's what a team is. And I believe that Nehemiah knew how to form a team. He brought his prayer, his passion, his example, but he also reminded them of the problem. I think that Jesus also formed a team. He prayed a lot. He had God's will and power, and he had passion, zeal, and sacrifice. And he lived by example, and he told people to follow that example. Follow me, Jesus said. And maybe that's a word for you today. If you're not following him yet, he says, follow me. In chapter 2 and verse 17, we read this. Then I, that's Nehemiah, said to them, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and the gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. He reminded them of their problem, but he also told them of God's solution. You could say that he reminded them of their disgrace, of the disgrace that they were in, but he brought to them news of God's grace. And I think that as Christians, that's our job most of the time, isn't it? It's to speak grace into situations of disgrace. It's to bring God's power and hope into hopeless situations. The people responded to Nehemiah, to his call for action, with a resounding yes. Now, when I say the people, I'm talking about the people that were in Jerusalem at the time, and there weren't that many, but they responded with yes. And they followed it through. It wasn't just words, it was action. And we read in chapter 4 and verse 6 that they worked with enthusiasm. It wasn't a half-hearted yes, it was wholehearted. Not just words, but action. Now, if later on in this sermon I ask you to make a commitment of yes, I don't want a half-hearted commitment. I want a wholehearted commitment. That's what God wants from us, a full yes, a considered yes. We're going to have a look at a map now. So have a look at this. Can you read all of that? I went for an eye test this week and I still can't read it. Yeah. So that is, that's the city of Jerusalem in the year 444 when Nehemiah was doing the rebuilding. I can send this out to you. The small groups can have it. And all around the outside, you can read the names of who looked after which section. We got north at the top, south at the bottom. So, as I said before, Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 586 BC, and here we are, 142 years later, starting the rebuilding work. If you were to walk around the perimeter of Jerusalem in that day, it was nearly 2 miles long, about 3 kilometers all the way around. That might be smaller than you were expecting. You might have noticed that no new rock was used in this building process, only new wood. They reused the rubble and they built out of that. Let's have a closer look at the top half. There we are. You might be able to read some of those words. Now, if we had carried on and read the whole chapter, we would have read about 43 distinct groups and individuals that contributed to this work. But I can tell you that there were many, many more that weren't named. Many more. And many of them didn't live anywhere near Jerusalem. It was the priests that led the way. Eliashib, the high priest, started on the gate that was most important to him, the sheep gate. It's at the top northern part. The sheep gate was really important because it was through that gate that the sheep or the lambs came before sacrifice. Sacrifice, of course, was to bring forgiveness and to bring people back to God. In the New Testament, Jesus says that I am the gate for the sheep. But when you go through the gate of Jesus, you don't go to your death. You go to life, fullness of life. And he invites all of us to go through that. Another point is that, of course, Jesus was the Lamb of God, is the Lamb of God, who died to take away our sins and may well have been through that gate at some point. When we look at the list in chapter 3, we realize that we can see perfumers, goldsmiths, Levites, leaders, followers, but no builders. There were no professional builders on the team, but they were all qualified builders by the time they finished. Some rebuilt sections really near to their homes where they had a vested interest. And as I said, many people didn't even live in Jerusalem and came a long way. Jericho, for instance, is 18 miles away. You'll have noticed in verse 12 that women were involved. The daughters of Shallum got a mention. Many other women didn't get a mention. There must have been hundreds of women involved. The people of Tekoa, they rebuilt two sections. They were very busy and very committed. But let's zoom in on the nobles, the so-called nobles of Tekoa. You will have heard this, and you perhaps wondered, why didn't they participate? We're still talking about it 2,500 years later. So why? Well, I wonder whether it was because they were too proud. They wouldn't submit to their supervisors. Maybe they were just too busy. You know how it is. Maybe they felt that they weren't skilled enough to do that job. Not that anybody was skilled, really. Or maybe they said, do you know what, if it was another project, that would be all right, but this particular project, we're not that interested in it. And I wonder if we hear some of our words sometimes, you know, when we think, oh no, I won't get involved with that because. And God's saying, I will equip you. Don't be remembered for not getting involved. Get involved and experience the blessing. In chapter 6, verse 15, we read the amazing words that the people worked so hard and they worked so well together that they completed the wall in 52 days. I'm not exaggerating. It's not a misprint. They didn't mean to put 52 weeks. It's 52 days. And as a result of that, we read this. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Isn't that wonderful? I take great courage from that. It's a powerful testimony when your enemies can see that God has been at work in the project, not just you. It's wonderful. And a question that I have for myself and for you today is, am I attempting anything for God at the moment along with other people? And what am I doing for God that I can't do without his power? Got a quote from a man called William Carey. He was a missionary to India. He spent the whole of his life there. He did amazing things. And he said this, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. We're in partnership with God, aren't we? We're doing it together. The enemies looked at the completed wall and they had to confess that God had been involved. When we do something for the glory of God, we're working together with each other, but also with God, together with God. Are we attempting anything for God at the moment? Are we doing anything that we can't do on our own, that we need God's help for? If we're not, then maybe we need to find a bigger project, an impossible project, like the rebuilding of this wall. Now, I feel like we come to an important question, and it is this. Where do I fit in? So it's the next slide. Where do I fit in? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It comes after the H and before the A. But, you know, it might not be obvious for you where you fit in It's not always obvious. I hope you're asking that question, where do I fit in? If you're not, then maybe today, let's start asking it. Now, my tip, my advice to you is if you're not sure where you fit in St. George's, in the Kingdom of God work, then just get involved. Get involved with something. See if it works out. If it doesn't, try something else. And you will find the place that you fit at some point. Let's look at this next slide. I've tried really hard here, but please forgive me if I've forgotten any of the ministries and activities that go on at church. I did remember the walking group, but I forgot. Okay, yes, I know. Please forgive me. I've got evangelism. Yeah. So, some of you are looking at that, if you can read it, and you're thinking, oh, I've been involved with that, or I am involved with that. I do that. And some of you are saying, oh, I didn't know we had that. You know, and some of you are thinking, maybe I could get involved. Allow God to just get your attention of something there that maybe you could follow through. And while that's still up, let me remind us that we're building together when we pray for these ministries. We're building together when we serve on these ministries and activities. And we're building together when we give financially to the church. Because the money goes out to support these ministries and our mission partners. So, for instance, you're helping to support medical missions in Ethiopia, church planting in Japan, Bible translation and publishing work, and of course, reaching the battered and bruised here in Leeds. I'm sure you can see that you're already involved. Have you had the joy of working with a team and seeing something exciting finished? I know I have. It's great. God wants us all to be involved and have that experience. Example that I'll give you is the beloved Christmas tree that stands, not there today. It stands here in what has become known as Christmas Tree Corner. And every year, it's not Prayer Ministry Corner, it's Christmas Tree Corner. And every year people say to me, Andy, how did you get that massive tree up the steps and decorated it and everything? And I say the same thing every year. Couldn't have done it without my Farsi friends, brothers and sisters. They did it. Thank you to you. I'll book you in for November sometime this year to help us with that again, with your PPE, of course. God can do a lot when we work together. Shall we build something together now? I need about four, and we'll build a little arch. Who would like? You will be on camera. It's very easy, but it's impossible if you try it on your own. God, thank you, and more. Can we have the slide up? So just to show you, great. Got two, a couple more maybe, or I might have to roll my sleeves up and get involved. Great, Sashil. Good. So that's what it wants to look like. Teamwork. They're already in the right order. So if you can make that stand. So here we go. And if you build them up together, so they are on there, the O. So like this, like it says there. Okay, got it. So the EA. Brilliant. Just stand them on there. So you have to see it from this side. This is taking longer than I expected. The O there. That's the M. That's brilliant. Sometimes you need a coordinator, don't you, to get a job done. And then we'll have the yellow one in the middle. There you go, just there. That's good, that's perfect. Is it going to stand? Yeah, good, you can let go. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Good. Now, I do invite you to come up and have a go at that on your own later, just to prove that it can't be done if you're on your own. We need a team, don't we? And Here's an interesting thing. This could represent Jesus, because Jesus is the capstone or the keystone that holds everything together and some people apart, potentially. Now, let me show you a couple of pictures of our time in Brazil. We were missionaries, Linda and I, in Brazil for 10 years. And after we'd spent 4 years building a church of people, we then started to build a church of bricks. And we had a volunteer team of 12 people come over from Leeds, and they helped us. You can perhaps see some whiter people in that first group mingling with the local people in the building work. 9 months later, the Baptist church had been completed and is still there today. Praise the Lord. Now, during that building work, this was my prayer. From Psalm 90 and verse 17, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I wonder if we could say that together as a prayer. Let's read it together. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Thank you. So when we get involved building together and together with God, we want it to last for eternity, don't we? Yeah, we want it to last, to have an impact on people's lives forever. Remember that and continue praying that prayer for our ministries. This last photo that I want to show you, I took about 5 years ago in Barcelona. And it's actually a frame from a video. I didn't want to show the video because somebody was screaming too much. I got so excited. It's such a wonderful example of building together and dynamic building together. Look at that, very, very high. Everybody knew their role. There were men, women, and children involved, and lots of cheering from the crowd. There was commitment, trust, passion, and energy. They depended on each other and supported one another. And even the crowd packed around at the bottom knew that they had the responsibility of catching anybody who fell from the tower. For me, it's a beautiful picture of what God wants to do in us, his people. I'm going to end with just mentioning three benefits that I can see of building together. The first benefit is, well, we get the job done. And if we're on our own, it takes a lot longer or it isn't done. So we get the job done. Number two, I believe that a joining of hands, and my experience is that a joining of hands brings about a meeting of minds and hearts. And in chapter 8 and verse 1, all the people approached Ezra and they all wanted the same thing together. Number three, working together draws us closer to each other and closer to God. So they ended up listening to God and his word together. They prayed together. They cried together. They repented and confessed together. They rejoiced and ate together. They fought injustice together, and they obeyed together. It sounds like a St. George's small group to me. Yeah. All of those things came after they did something physical and got involved together. So, are you ready? Are you already involved? If not, will you commit today to getting involved, saying yes to God and serving him as he leads you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing story of Nehemiah, the motivation, the mobilization of the people. Thank you that you drew them together and that you did amazing things through them. Lord, we give ourselves to you. We ask that you would lead us into things that we can't do without you and we can't do without each other, for the glory of your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.